Shalom, brethren. It's another day, and we will continue in our thoughts of doubt, skepticism, unbelief. Today, I want the Lord to help us answer the question, how does it come for people who have already believed? How does doubt come for individuals who have believed? We've looked at the difference between doubt and unbelief. We've looked at unbelief as a destructive category of doubt. So today, I want us to look at the doubt that comes from an unestablished mind, which is one who has seemingly believed or understood the truth and at some point begins to doubt. So, to draw the text, I would want to read a very common story that we know about, which involves the Apostle Peter in Luke 22:32. Jesus said to Peter, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. That's the part that is quite interesting. If Peter's faith was going to fail, this clearly indicated that he had some faith. Now, if we recall that this is the same apostle who received the knowledge of the truth of the person of Christ. He was the one who got that revelation and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, which may today look to us as, oh, well, that's not, you know, that's something, but at the time when Peter received this revelation and declared it, he was hazy to the other apostles or to the people generally, you know, and that was why none of them could respond to the question that Christ put across to them. So it was a revelation at the time. And what's the revelation? Revelation is a hidden truth that has been unveiled to you. And so it was unveiled to Peter. He had that revelation. But here now, his faith, the Lord is praying that his faith does not fail. So he had some faith, but the devil is working towards that, sifting him away as wheat. And that's why, that's something that can happen to a Christian. At the beginning, I said that we were going to look at the doubt that comes as a result of an unestablished mind. And that is one where this category falls in. That's this category of doubt that that the devil is going to deal with Peter on is as a result of an unestablished mind. Because if we look at the following sentence, it says, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. So already we see the category where Peter falls in. Even though he had faith, it was about to fail because he was not fully converted, and he was not established. His mind was not yet established in the truth, and this way the devil was going to leverage that. And this is the way the devil deals with every unestablished mind. Now, how does this come? How does this faith that, I mean, how does this doubt after a seeming embracing of the faith, how does it come for one who once believed? I can tell us straight off the bat that the first way that this comes is sort of what I would call the Balaam enticement. The Balaam association. If we remember the story of Balaam and Balak, how Balaam tried to convince the children of Israel. To curse the children of Israel. Balak wanted to do that, and he employed the services of Balaam to curse the children of Israel. But that was not possible because they were children of covenant. Balaam the prophet could not even curse them based on whatever shortcoming they had, because one of the statements in his prophecy was there is no divination against Israel. I do not even see his iniquity. That's what some of the things that came out from his mouth. But what happened shortly after then? Balak organized a feast, and through this feast was able to defile the unestablished mind of the children of Israel. And this is exactly what usually happens when people embrace the faith, but their mind isn't established yet, and you begin to associate with the wrong set of people. There is a scripture where the Lord told the children of Israel that do not go to explore, you know, the ways of these other nations that do not know me. Do not go to explore how do they do their things, how do they treat their children, how do they serve their God. Why? Because your unestablished mind is easily swayed. Rather, what God expects of, you know, of them was to, he told them to write the commandments that he had given them on the doorposts, on the plaque, everywhere where they could easily see it. Today, he gave a covenant through the prophet Jeremiah that there will be no need for those commandments to be written on those physical platforms anymore, but it will be written on the stone, on the heart, on the platform of the heart. And that's the covenant that we are under. So back to how this doubt comes. How does this doubt come to an establishment where the faith is failing? What does the devil try to achieve? For example, in the case of Peter, he was trying to push Peter towards the stage of unbelief. That's exactly what the devil intends for an unestablished mind. He wants to push him towards unbelief, where he throws away everything he once even embraced, or that he was in the process of embracing, or that he has embraced. So he wants to push him towards unbelief. You know, remember yesterday we talked about, in the last two episodes, we talked about unbelief being a total, you know, opposition to the truth. Someone who has been shown the truth, has seen the truth, but makes a decision after the devil has dealt with his mind to throw away the truth. And that's exactly where Peter, the devil was walking Peter towards, so that his faith will fail. And what? With what objective? To sift him away as wheat. And that's exactly what the devil is attempting with, you know, some of us today, with the children of God, whose mind are not very well established. Is pushing them to a place where he can sift away their faith and push them towards unbelief, where what they earlier embraced, they make a decision not to believe. And remember that if we continue in unbelief, God will have no option but to judge. However, God guards his children by preserving their faith. And that's one of the functions of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit prevents the believer from having a destructive doubt. I don't want to go into the other component of this that I intend to also examine, which is the sort of doubt that every Christian might experience in their journey of faith. But here we are just focusing today on how does doubt come. And I've mentioned particularly for an unestablished mind, we are focusing today on doubt that comes from an unestablished mind, and our faith failing as a result of, you know, the first reason, which is how does it come, is you know, the Balaam enticement, which also we can see in the New Testament. In 2 Corinthians 6:14, we say that do not be yoked together with unbelievers. Another translation says don't team up with those who are unbelievers, because this is how people whose mind is unestablished gradually wear off their faith. And I listened to a podcast once of a people who were discussing, they were anti-faith set of people. They were talking about a whole lot of things, and one person made a comment and said, as much as I'm coming here to defend my stand and my faith against you people, I will not make it a habit to come here, because that in itself is not beneficial to my own faith, which I intend to keep, which I intend to preserve. And I thought to myself that that is so true. You can't continually associate with unbelievers, people who do not believe the faith, and then you do not expect that the devil will not use that against you someday in your low moment. The devil is going to pull that out. So what does the Lord expect both from the children of Israel and from us today? He expects us to fortify our mind with the Word of God. He wants us to constantly expose ourselves to the Word of God. The more the Word that we have in us, the greater our faith. Less and little Word results in little faith that is easily, you know, torn away, that can easily be sifted away, like Peter, like the case of Peter. So not enough Word in us also brings about this kind of doubt that attacks the unestablished mind. That's another way by which it comes. The last thing that I wanted to just touch on before I close on this episode is our faith that we have is based on nothing but God's Word. We don't direct our faith to the word that any man has said. We don't direct our faith to the words that even our pastors have said. Our faith is not based on that. That is a sinking. If you put your faith on the words of man, that is a sinking ground. You know, that can shift from time to time. That can change from time to time. People change their opinions. You know, it was right yesterday, it's not right today. You know, that is the example of people or of a believer that Jesus gave, who is building their house on the sand, because that cannot be established. That is an unestablished mind. It shifts from time to time. But the Word of God, we know, is established forever. It remains consistent. It doesn't change. It is settled in heaven, says the Bible. And so what was wrong yesterday is wrong today and will always be wrong. What is right yesterday is right today and will always be right. God does not change his mind about his word. God does not improve on his word. God does not grow in his word. God was right the first time and will always be right. So because of that, the Word of God becomes the rock upon which a wise man build his faith. So the faith is built on the Word, and so we don't build our faith on any man's opinion. We build it upon the Word, and we don't go about seeking other people's opinion to wear off our faith that we are gradually building on the rock. It may fail, because the devil knows and understands mind manipulation, and all he wants to achieve is to make our faith fail. The singular goal that the gate of hell is waging against a Christian is to achieve one single thing, and that is to make their faith fail, which is what Peter is experiencing here. But the Lord Jesus Christ, the chief shepherd, preserves his children by preserving the faith, by ensuring and advising them to listen to the voice of only one, that is the voice of the shepherd, to listen to the word of God, to abide in the word, to abide and remain in the word of God, so that our faith will not fail. I pray that the Lord will, who prayed for Peter, if there be anyone whose faith is on the sinking sand at this moment, I ask that the Lord who prayed for Peter will also, as prayed for us already, but I pray that the Lord will nudge us to go into more of his word, so that our faith is established, and so that our faith will not fail, and the devil will not sift us away as wheat. The Lord bless you. Hope to see you. Hope to continue on this tomorrow. Bless you.